Merry Christmas. Thank you. It's so good to see you all here for really the first Mass of Christmas, Midnight Mass, December 25th, 2014. But for a moment, I'd like you to take your minds back, to go back 100 years. And when we think of 100 years ago, we know we mark a tragic time, the time of World War I. Go back, though, to June the 28th. A young Serbian radical nationalist assassinated Archduke Franz Ferdinand, the successor and heir to the throne of the Austrian-Hungarian Empire. That one single shot, that one event, set off a whole chain reaction that eventually would culminate in the declaration of war. Pope St. Pius X tried as best he could to plead with the leaders of traditionally Christian nations, Great Britain, France, Germany, Austria-Hungary, Italy, to resolve this problem without going to war. No one seemed to want to listen. Finally, on August the 4th, Germany invaded Belgium. War was officially declared. How tragic. Some historians would say that Pope St. Pius X died on August the 20th because of a broken heart, that he could not stop this war from happening, and so many Christian leaders refused to reconcile. Well, my brothers and sisters, by December, 1 million had died in that war, and then came Christmas Eve. Imagine, Christmas Eve. Here they were, armies of these different powers, and by that time, stuck in the trenches, truly entrenched in this war. Well, the story goes, near Ypres, Belgium, we had the British line, and then there was the German line, and in between, no man's land. So Christmas Eve came, sunset was there, no more fighting, the bullets had stopped. So a few British soldiers wearing white flags were going into no man's land to just pick up their dead, to recover the bodies so they could give them proper burial. They noticed, though, in the trenches of the Germans across the way, a Christmas tree lit with candles, other decorations. The German soldiers were singing Silent Night. Well, the Brits thought, we can do better than that. So they started singing, O Come All Ye Faithful. Well, with that, a German soldier with a white flag came out, offered a bottle of wine to the Brits. And then a Brit came out with a white flag, with a cake, offered it to the Germans. And from there, soldiers just came out of the trenches in the midst of this blood field called no man's land. The Germans eventually put up a Christmas tree, put candles on it. It glowed brightly. They were greeting each other. They were sharing Merry Christmas and other good tidings. It seemed like this unofficial truce had put a quiet to the violence that had happened just hours earlier. Well, the next day, Christmas morning, many of them on both sides had attended Mass or some other religious service, and then the festivities resumed. Here we had these one-time enemies coming out together, sharing greetings, sharing pastries, whiskey, wine, cigarettes, chocolate, having a good time. Perhaps one of the most interesting parts was they had a soccer game. The 133rd Royal Saxons and the Scots had a soccer game with each other. Lieutenant Johannes Niemann, a German soldier, said, "Spirits were high, and us Germans roared with laughter when a gust of wind revealed that the Scots wore no drawers under their kilts." So, the soccer game brought some frivolity to all of this. They also had a service for the dead. Together they buried the dead, and in English and in German, together they said the Our Father. Karl Mulag, a private in the German army, said, "Never was I as keenly aware of the insanity of war." It was like Isaiah's prophecy had come true. The wolf shall be the guest of the lamb, and the leopard shall lay down with the kid. All that would happen when the Messiah came. Would it not have even been more miraculous if the would-be leaders who had declared this war, who had kept this war going despite the cost of life, would have fulfilled another of Isaiah's prophecies? They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. One nation shall not raise the sword against another, nor shall they train for war again. But then came midnight. The truce was over. They went back to fighting. Why? Why did that have to happen? Why did even World War I have to happen? Maybe it was because, even though they celebrated Christmas, the Prince of Peace really wasn't in their hearts. Maybe for so many, especially the leaders, they wanted to glorify themselves. They had some other kind of ambition. And so Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the great literary laureate of Russia, and really the former Soviet Union, once commented about World War I. And he said, it was declared because men had forgotten God. Well, my brothers and sisters, we know World War I did end, 1918. 10 million, over 10 million, died in that awful war. It was supposed to be the war to end all wars. One would have thought human beings would have learned something from that. But did they? Well, we well know we didn't learn very well. We had World War II, and some of our members from Falcon's Landing were veterans in that war, and then the Korean War, the Vietnam War. And we could go on and on and on. Why is it we can't have peace? Well, maybe Solzhenitsyn hits it right on the head when he says, men stopped believing in God. Well, my brothers and sisters, here we are on Christmas Eve. What about us? Wouldn't it be wonderful to have peace? Peace in the world? Peace in our own country? Peace in our community? In our homes? In our own hearts. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, if we want to have peace, then we have to heed what the angels announced that first Christmas. The angels said, glory to God in the highest, and peace on those upon whom His favor rests. Well, the first part of peace is all glory belongs to God. We can't glorify ourselves. Glory belongs to God. God is glorious. God is truth, goodness, and beauty. God is glorious. And He revealed that glory, first of all, in creation. When God began saying, let there be light, He spoke through His divine word, divine wisdom, His Son, and creation unfolded. And we see His glory in our very being. After all, we're made in His image and likeness. Each one of us is a gift from God, and we're called to reflect that glory of God in our own very lives. But as we well know from the sacred scriptures, our first parents, Adam and Eve, wanted to be God. They sought their own glory. They wanted to do their own will. Sin came into this world, and sin grew. It's like a war was declared between mankind and God. And eventually, this sin separated them so much, it was like this no man's land between man and God. How could it possibly be healed? Well, God in His glory had a plan. It would take the act of God, but it also take an act of man, because mankind causes the sin. But God in His glory had a plan. And we read in the sacred scriptures, St. John's Gospel, the very words of our Lord. He said, God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, not to condemn, but to give everlasting life to those who believe. And so, the Father sent His Son into this world, true God becoming true man. Mary conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, and through her Christ became incarnate. Yes, as St. John wrote, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of an only begotten Son, coming from the Father, filled with truth and grace. When we look at this manger scene, though, and we pause to consider Christ, yes, we see the incarnate God. We see a Christ who came into this world to give our human dignity something even greater than what Adam and Eve had. We see God who became man to reveal to us perfectly how we ought to live in that image and likeness of God. He came as the way, the truth, and the life. He shows us the way to live our life now, and he shows us how to pass from this life. But every time we look at our nice manger scene, we raise our eyes and we look at that cross and we see why Jesus came. He came to reconcile sinners, to take the burden of our sins onto himself, and through his resurrection to give us the hope of everlasting life. St. Paul reminds us it's by the blood of the cross that Christ has brought peace. And so, my brothers and sisters, there we find the glory of God. And in our own lives, then, we're called to live in that glory. And so we're reminded then, as the angel said, yes, glory to God in the highest, but on peace on earth to those upon whom his favor rests. Now, St. Jerome took issue, or he would take issue with that modern English translation. Good St. Jerome would have said, a better translation is, peace on earth to men of good will. That's the key. Men of good will. To find peace, then our will has to be conformed to God's will. By giving glory to God, we have to conform our will to his. Just as Mary, Saint Joseph, said yes to God's will, we have to. Otherwise, we'll never be able to find peace. So in saying that yes to God's will, we live by his truth, as we find in sacred scripture, the teachings of the church, the commandments. We live by the example of Christ himself. We live, as St. Paul said in our second reading, rejecting godless ways and worldly desires, that we live temperately, justly, and devoutly. Yes, the key is we have to give our wills to Christ. And really what it's about is loving our Lord. That's all. To love our Lord. Because when we love him, our will is united with him. We choose what he would want us to choose, and then we can give him glory. If we think that we'll find peace by glorifying ourselves, we're sadly mistaken. We could easily become enslaved in political correctness. We could follow a broken moral compass, thinking there's no right or wrong, there's no truth or falsehood. We could easily think, let's build up my kingdom here, forgetting we leave everything at a grave. But if so, we'll never find peace in our lives. Only when we truly give ourselves over to Jesus Christ, when we love him as he has loved us, will we find peace in our lives. Now we go one step further. Because the angels made their declaration, and the shepherds, with great excitement, went to see little baby Jesus. And St. Jerome again tells us that they not only went in haste, as the English translation says, St. Jerome says, they crossed over. Meaning, it's like they left their trenches of life, that they left the situation in which they lived that they had no control over, to cross over to be with God. And that's what we need to do. And that's why we're here. Why are we here at Christmas? We're here to cross over to be in the presence of Almighty God. We've just heard his sacred scriptures. We will profess our faith, but keep in mind, we soon cross over into a different time frame. Between that little manger scene and that cross stands this altar. And on this altar, a sacrifice takes place that sacramentally represents that sacrifice and resurrection on the cross. Christ's everlasting, ever-living sacrifice is made present once again. Once again, Christ comes into our midst at this Mass. The priest offers the bread and wine, and that bread and wine is transubstantiated into our Lord's body, blood, soul, and divinity. Christ becomes present to us. The living bread comes down from heaven once again to give us life and to share our lives. How wonderful that is. No matter what circumstance of life we're in, no matter what trench we find ourselves right now, Christ has come to be with us, to share our joys, our sorrows, sufferings, hardships, successes, whatever it may be. But while he offers himself, you and I need to offer ourselves to him. Christ comes to us. Think how important this is, my brothers and sisters, when we consider our fellow Christians who this very day in Iraq, Syria, Pakistan, all those other countries face awful persecution because they believe in Jesus. They may well face their own demise because they celebrate Christmas. But what comfort it is for them to know our Lord is with them in the trenches. And no matter what they face in their very lives, even if it means martyrdom, they give glory to God because of their love. Their love. And that's what we must do too. And so, we think of how beautiful this Mass is. Christ's Mass. Christmas. But then, beyond this, we need to remember to take the time to pray each day, to have a relationship with our Lord, to share our life with Him. And in that too, we need to look at our lives. And if we fall to sin, to seek reconciliation. Never should we be satisfied in just asserting our own will and being comfortable with sin. Because just like that one shot that led to World War I caused such a calamity, one sin in our own lives can have such a ripple effect, not only in our own life, a marriage, a family, a community, a world. Yes, sin. So you and I should never be comfortable with sin. Christ came to reconcile sinners, and so we should avail ourselves frequently to the sacrament of reconciliation. I have to say, on behalf of my brother priests, that how beautiful it was, not only during Advent, but especially the past 2 days, we had so many people come to confession to be reconciled. 15 hours of confessions on Monday and Tuesday. How wonderful that is for people to come back to Christ and to be at peace with Him so that they could be at peace with others. But this is what Christmas is all about. This is how we can find peace and we can have in our own lives that beautiful gift of Christ's love. This is how we can give glory to Almighty God. And so, yes, the angels sang, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth to men of goodwill." My brothers and sisters, this Christmas Eve is so beautiful, and this is the first Mass of Christmas Day. But let us not have this simply be a truce that ends. But rather, let us make a commitment to love our Lord, to give our wills over to Him, to follow Him as the way, the truth, and the life, so that we can bring His glory into this world, so that we can be instruments of His peace in this world. May God bless you.